This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go also that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she'd said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher's here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odour, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Thanks be to God for his word.
just going to pray for Emma now as she speaks to us. Father, I thank you for the word that you have laid on Emma's heart for us. Lord, I pray that you would give her freedom and liberty and even joy as she preaches to us. We thank you for your word and for the life that it brings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Thanks, Andrew and Liz, for reading that long reading. And thank you very much for your welcome here this morning. I was trying to work it out on my way here. I think it's the fourth time I've been here, so it all feels very lovely to be with you again. And wonderful to hear what God has been doing through your 24/7 prayer. It's really exciting. Although I'm also quite nervous about being asked to preach in front of a congregation, half of whom have been awake all night. So, you know, if the person next to you shuts their eyes, that's fine. If they start snoring, give them a poke and wake them up. But it's really good to be with you. I love stories, especially stories with happy endings. So I was really, really cross at Downton Abbey this Christmas. Did any of you see the episode of Downton Abbey? It was Christmas afternoon, evening. We were all sat there with glasses of wine and chocolates, and it was a wonderful story. A baby was born, and there were beautiful things happening. And then the very last scene of the whole thing was the rather lovely Matthew dying. And that was it. And then there were the credits. I was absolutely furious. I went to bed distraught. I don't know about you. There were lots of tweets. There were lots of letters going, how can they do this to us? Because we love a story that has a happy ending. And today's story that Liz so beautifully read to us has a really happy ending. You kind of know it from the title in your Bible, the Lazarus Raised from the Dead. So you kind of know at the start that there's going to be a happy ending at the end. But just for now, I'd like you to pretend for a moment that you don't know how the story ends. Okay? Imagine you're like watching it like Downton Abbey or something. You don't know how it's going to end. Pretend that you don't know that Lazarus is going to come back to life. Pretend that you just know he's sick. I wonder if you can kind of do that with me today. We're going to sort of live the story a little bit as if we didn't know what happens at the end. Because I think if we do this, if we really get into the story, it will really help us to understand Jesus' words, I am the resurrection and the life. So we join the story when Mary and Martha send a message to Jesus to tell him that their brother Lazarus is ill. It says, now a man, this is verse 1, chapter 11, and do look it up if you want to have it in your Bibles or have it in front of you, that would be really useful. A man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus was sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, if Jesus had a kind of home from home, it would be their home. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus had become a kind of family to Jesus. He'd spent a lot of time with them. They were sort of like his close friends. And they lived at Bethany, which is about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, the religious leaders are based, and they'd been plotting to kill Jesus. In fact, Jesus had nearly nearly been attacked by them a little bit earlier when he'd been near where they were. So he was nervous. His disciples were nervous about going to Jerusalem. So Lazarus was ill, and his sisters sent a message to Jesus, who was about a 2-day journey away. So Bethany to Jerusalem, about 2 days' journey. And it's worth noting, I think, that they don't actually ask Jesus to come and help. They just send a message saying, Jesus, he's ill. Lazarus is ill. And I guess because he's a good friend of theirs, they assume that he'll come and help. They assume that that will be the reaction. So, on getting this message, Jesus immediately responded and ran straight away to Bethany and raised Lazarus from the dead. Yep. No, actually. Firstly, Jesus said some really important words that just set the context for the rest of the story. He says, and this is verse 4, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. That's a really key bit. So Jesus knows that Lazarus is ill, and he knows what he's doing. Trust me, he says. God is going to be glorified through this. Then we get to verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick... Okay, let's finish it. We can finish that verse. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he dropped everything and he rushed off straight away and he sorted it out. Yes? Actually, no. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. What? Because he loved Lazarus very much and Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days? What was he doing? I think it seems to be really important, for reasons that will become clear at the end of the story, that Lazarus is actually dead. Not just sick, but dead. Jesus knows what he's doing. And so then Jesus announces to his disciples that Lazarus is dead. Remember, at this stage, he's only been told that he's ill, but he tells his disciples that he has actually died. So not only has he not rushed to heal Lazarus, but he is also the one to break to his disciples the news that Lazarus has died. He says in verse 11, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." And naturally the disciples think that he's talking about actually sleeping. You know, he's being kind of nice and saying, "Oh, it's okay, he's only asleep." And Jesus has to tell them really plainly, Lazarus is dead. No euphemisms, no pastoral niceties, dead, deceased, pushing up the daisies. I think the temptation to lapse into John Cleese and the parrot sketch is almost overwhelming here. Lazarus is not sleeping, he is dead. Okay, so then, having broken this bad news to his disciples, Jesus then rushes off to raise Lazarus, yes? Actually, no. Then he says... "And I'm glad I was not there." What? Now, I teach pastoral care and pastoral theology, and I know that according to the textbooks, this is not a good pastoral response. Lazarus is dead, and although I love him, I'm very glad that I was not there. What is Jesus playing at? "I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe." Ah. We're getting a bit closer to what's going on. "So that you may believe." There is a purpose in all this delaying. Sometimes I guess it can seem that Jesus is delaying in coming to our help or answering our prayers. And you've prayed a lot of wonderful things this week. And there may be instant results. It was wonderful to hear of that healing last night. But sometimes there aren't. And it can be really frustrating when it seems like God isn't answering in our time and in the way that we expected. But this story, I think, shows us that God does have a plan, even though it might not be very clear to us. So then suddenly, Jesus tells them that they are going off now to Bethany in Judea, where not so long ago people had tried to kill him. And Thomas, bless him, Thomas, who is known to us often as Doubting Thomas, says, "Let us go so that we may die with him." Thomas has had a really bad press, I think, but here he is expressing real faith and real commitment to Jesus, not doubt. "I'm prepared to die for you, Jesus," he says. So off they go, and when they get there, Martha runs out to meet them. Now, if I were Martha, I would be really cross with Jesus. I think it's just as well that you can't actually deduce tone of voice from the written text on the page, because I wonder with what tone of voice she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Whatever tone of voice she says it in, she seems to be expressing a real belief in Jesus' ability to sort things out. She believes in him. She believes in his power to heal. She knows that if he'd been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And there are all sorts of reasons why our prayers are not answered in the way we expect. But I wonder how often we come to prayer with that kind of faith, that kind of belief in Jesus' ability. I wonder if we've approached our prayers this week with that same faith that Martha shows. Lord, I know you can heal my friend. I know your presence can bring peace to this situation. I know you can sort this out. I know you can help me. And then she goes on to say, and this is verse 22 now, and I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. It's a wonderful mixture of kind of exasperation and faith. I'm really, really cross, Jesus, that you didn't turn up and answer my prayers in the way that I wanted you to. But even now, I believe that you can do anything. I think it's okay for us to pray like that, to kind of express exasperation with God sometimes, to cry out to him. I notice that there are some prayers of lament that people have written here. And it's okay to do that. It's okay to be honest, perhaps even a little bit cross with God about the things about him that we don't understand, whilst also saying, but I believe you can do anything. So, hearing Martha's exasperated faith, Jesus rushes to the tomb and raises Lazarus, yes? Actually, no. There are a few more things that he wants to say to Martha first. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day. And this response shows that Martha is being a really good Jew. She's simply quoting the textbook Jewish doctrine about life after death. The Jews believed that there was a life to come. There was this present life that we live in now, but there was the end times, the last day, when God would come and make everything right again, sort out all the sickness, sort out all the death. The dead would be raised to life, and God's rule and reign would happen on earth. Amos describes it. Isaiah describes it. It is a very real Jewish doctrine. And in this age to come, the dead would rise and life would come to them again. And that's what Martha's referring to. She says, yes, I know my brother will come back to life in the age to come, when God establishes his rule on the earth. But Jesus, that seems a very long time to wait. I agree, says Jesus, and he rushes off immediately to raise Lazarus from the dead. Yes? Actually, no. Jesus stays exactly where he is, and he responds with these words. This is verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. I am. Can you think of another time in the Bible where you heard, I am? Moses at the burning bush, God says to him, I am who I am. Tell them that I am sent you. So in using these I am sayings, and I know you've been looking at several of them, Jesus is being really controversial. He's saying, I am God. No wonder the Jewish leaders took offence at what he was saying. Imagine if you went around saying, not I go to Alma Church, but I am Alma Church. Or not I support Bristol City, but I am Bristol City. Not I'm a student at Bristol University, but I am Bristol University. It would sound a bit presumptuous, wouldn't it? But here, Jesus isn't just saying, I'm good at resurrection. He's not just saying, I have something to do with resurrection. He's not just saying, I take part in resurrection. He's saying, I am resurrection. All those Jewish ideas about the dead being raised in God's perfect kingdom, that's all going to happen because of me. It's the key bit of the whole story. If you like, it's the happy ending right here in the middle of the story. Jesus doesn't say to Martha, well done, you've got your theological facts correct. He says, Martha, look at me. I have power over death. I am the resurrection and the life. He doesn't pause to teach her a short course in immortality. He doesn't offer her any explanation of his claim. He offers her himself. And when Lazarus is raised from the dead, sorry, I've just given away the ending, but when Lazarus is raised from the dead, it was only temporary. Lazarus will die again. When Jesus is raised from the dead, just a few weeks after this event, through him, death will be defeated forever. Jesus will never die again. Finally and completely, death will be dead. That's what it means for Jesus to say, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection isn't a doctrine. It isn't a future fact. Resurrection is a person, Jesus. So when Jesus asks Martha, do you think Lazarus will be raised? And she says, well, yes, in the future. Jesus is effectively saying to her, well, how about if the future was right here and right now? How about if this ideal future of God, when all suffering ends, when there's no more pain, when there's no more death, no more crying, this kingdom could break through into the present? What about if the happy ending was now? Well, in me, Jesus says, it is. In Jesus, all the goodness of God's future comes pouring through into the present. I wonder if that has been informing your prayers this week. I wonder if that might have an effect on the way that we live. The ideal that the future of God, his life, his hope, his blessing, is available to us here and now, bringing healing and peace and forgiveness. How would it transform our prayers if we really prayed like that? How would it affect the way I live? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, not just when you die, not in the future, but right now. And then Jesus asks Martha, do you believe this? And I think if I'd been her, I probably would have said, sorry, could we go over that again? Or what do you mean exactly? Or how does this relate to my ideas about the life to come? But not Martha. She says, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God coming into the world. That's quite some faith that she has there. Martha, who's often held up as a warning against being too busy, as the flustered opposite to her serene and holy sister, that Martha utters the most profound expression of faith and belief in Jesus. And I wonder if we're prepared to follow her example. And even when things are really dark, and it looks like God is not there, and Lazarus is still dead, and it's not all sorted out, even then are we prepared to say, yes, Lord, I do believe. Even if the evidence points to the contrary, I do believe that you're able to do anything because of who you are. You are the resurrection. You are the life, you are the healing, and you are the answer to all my prayers. Every one of God's promises finds its yes in you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, I believe. And then Jesus raised Lazarus. Yes, no, then Jesus wept. Seeing the grief of his friends, he began to cry. And if there was any doubt ever that Jesus was fully human, here it is. He knew he could raise Lazarus. He knew he was about to. So why did he cry? I think it's because he was reacting to the grief that he saw in his dear friends. He doesn't just put on a shiny face, but he weeps with them. And he weeps with you and with me for everything that we've been weeping about this week. And then Jesus rolls the stone away and heals Lazarus. Yes? Actually, no. Then Jesus asks them to roll the stone away. I wonder if you've ever wondered why he does that. Couldn't he have just done it himself? You know, zap, the stone would roll away. I think he was asking them to show their trust in him, "Do you really believe that I can raise Lazarus from the dead?" Jesus wants them to play their part in the miracle as well, to partner with him, if you like. "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" he says. "You do your bit and show that you trust me." I think it's a bit like that with us when we pray too. I might pray, "Jesus, I want my friend to become a Christian." And he might say, "Well, you roll the stone away first. You tell her about your faith, and then I'll do my work by the Holy Spirit in her life." So I might pray, "Jesus, put an end to all poverty in my city." And God might say, "Well, you roll the stone away first. You do your part in giving to the poor, in opening up your life and your time to them, and I'll do my part in ending poverty." I might pray, "Lord, make my studies succeed." And he might say, "Well, you roll the stone away first. You put in the hard work, and I will bless and prosper your efforts." He asked them to roll the stone away. And eventually, after some arguing about the smell, they did. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead? Yes, then he raised Lazarus from the dead. Shall we pray together? Jesus, we thank you that you are the resurrection and you are life. Lord, help us to accept this life that you long to offer us, that you hold out to us. Thank you that this life is found in you and you alone. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to open every part of our lives to you. Lord, even when we can't see what you're doing, would you give us that faith and belief and trust in you? Yes, Lord, I believe. And Lord, we pray that you would send your glorious future, the future of the kingdom of God, into every part of our present. Come into our lives, we pray, Lord. Come into our church. Come into every part of who we are, bringing your healing, your resurrection, and your life. Yes, Lord, we believe. Amen.